speaking of St. Kalamata, let me just tell you a horror about that. Tonight, it's like, yeah, tonight, while everybody gets their coffee. Tonight, we start saying St. Kalamata. The night is December 4th.
Okay.
And there's a question in the Poskim, what happens if you forget the St. Kalamata tonight? In other words, you forget the St. Kalamata, and then you forget to say it by Shema Tfila, and then you forget to say it before it say, and then you forget everything. So now the question is, do you daven again? Pashtas, you should daven again. Pardon? Mash Baruch, you wouldn't. By the St. Kalamata, if you forget the St. Kalamata, you have to daven again. The first Mariv, there's a Shita that you don't have to. And the reason is, one of the Rishonim holds that we start with St. Kalamata 60 days from the autumnal equinox. Not the actual astronomical autumnal equinox, the halachic equinox. Which was this year at 3 a.m., 60 days ago. So according to, I think it's the Rav Yah, if you forget the St. Kalamata before 3 a.m., which most people don't admire before 3 a.m., you're not obligated to repeat Shemana Esrei. Now, there's a question whether we pass in this way. The some places can say this. I don't remember what the teams are. But the Halakha L'maisa, the Mishnah Berurah, is not so sure whether we should rely on this. One interesting Ha'arah that somebody pointed out to me is that just like the Meilad, they announced the time in Yerushalayim. So when we say the autumnal equinox is 3 a.m., it's not something like Shkia and sunrise, which occurs at a different time everywhere else. It's something that occurs at one time in the universe. So 3 a.m. in Eretz Yisrael is 8 p.m. here, which means that, l'chayr, if you were davening Mariv tonight after 8 p.m., there isn't anyone who holds that you wouldn't have to repeat Shemayna Esrei. As an additional, for the people who are really into clocks and astronomy, it's not exactly 8, right? Because it's solar time, right? We have to adjust a few minutes for the fact that we're in the middle of the time zone. In any case, it's the best Eitza is to not forget the Sinu Kalamata, that you don't have a Shaila. If you daven early, that's totally in that Machlaikis. Uh-huh. I don't know what the Rav here paskins. Tilt the dove is hard because you have to pay attention. All right. Okay, let's get started. We're in Simen Resh Pei Vav Sif Yud Aleph. Simen Resh Pei Vav Sif Yud Aleph is a pretty short Sif, but it's not such a simple Sif. Does everyone have Sif Yud Aleph? So Shulchan Aruch says, Sukkah tachag b'chag. Sukkah b'chag, Chazal use the term chag when they mean sukkah. In English, we call it sukkah. So Sukkah tachag b'chag translates as the sukkah of sukkahs on sukkahs. Say that three times fast, right? V'habaya shebesvina, and a house on a boat. V'hachanuya shebeshvakim, and the shops in the market, peturim. All these three are not chayav in mezuzah. Now, each of these three dinim needs quite a bit of clarification. The first thing is sukkah sachag b'chag. That means you build a sukkah to live in for sukkahs, and you don't put a mezuzah there. Even if you eat there all your meals, and you sleep there, and you read there, and you learn there, you don't put up a mezuzah. Why is sukkah sachag b'chag potter from mezuzah? So, you could say, because you don't live there for 30 days. However, halacha is, something that belongs to you, if you build yourself a house to live in, even if you're only going to live there for a week, it's chayav mezuzah from the instant you move in. The din of 30 days in chutz la'aretz is a house that you're living in but do not own. Like if you rent a house, or you borrow a house. So, it can't be that the reason is because you're only going to use it for 7 days. So the Gemara actually says that it's a machlekes tanoim. In the first parak of Masechet Yuma, the Gemara says that it's a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon. There's a famous machlekes if we paskin sukkah diras keva or sukkah diras arai. That means everybody's maskin, you live in the sukkah for the 7 or 8 days of sukkahs. Machlekes is whether you treat that as a permanent dwelling that you live in temporarily or if it has a halach of a temporary dwelling. So, in fact, if you look, the Mefarshim don't say so much on this. The Ber HaGola points it out in Isya Tes. Braisa Yoyma Daf Yud Amar Aleph Ukrabonon V'tamayu D'chsiv Beisecha. If you look on the top left margin, it's very small type there. I'll just read it to you. Oh, it's a different. Beragel Yates. Tamayu dechsev beisecha shudiras keva. Now that has nothing to do with sukkahs. That's a rule in general. Sukkah has to. In order to be chayv mezuzah, the building has to be diras keva. Lafuke diras arai, and they hold sukkah diras arai. That's what the Gemara says. Now that itself is not entirely satisfying because, like we said, even a diras arai should really be chayv in mezuzah if you're going to live in it temporarily. It must mean it's even more arai than an ordinary temporary dwelling. So, yeah, but it doesn't matter if you're going to take it down. If you build a house to live in for 7 days and then take down, if it wouldn't be not for Hilchos Sukkos, then you'd still be chayiv in mezuzah as long as you own it. Now, there's an interesting question. What happens if you have one of those fancy sukkahs where it's really part of your house and you pick up the roof and you put tzchach on top and you live in that for 7 days? There, it's true. It has walls and it has a mezuzah already. The question is that intrinsically chayev in mezuzah or pater from mezuzah? And you might ask, who cares? There's a mezuzah there already. So it's possible that it's going to cause a big problem. Let's see the pischei tshuva. It's ice.
What about the other side? You built a sukkah.
Yeah.
Permanent.
Yeah.
Built it to be permanent.
To build, right.
And leave it there.
Good.
But you cover it.
Good. So let's check this out.
It's not that it was originally part of the building. Still,
yeah, it's going to depend on this question. Let's have a look at the Pischei Tshuva Yud Gimel. It's out of place over here. He catches up in something else because Sif later talks about a roof. If you have the traditional print of Shulchan Aruch, it's right before the wines start to get wide. It says, V'ayim b'shelos tshuvas arba turei evin simen yadalet. Does everyone see that?
First white line.
It's a little bit just before halfway through Sif Katan Yud Gimel. Let's learn this together. A lot of places have rooms with a roof and a mezuzah. And on sukkahs you remove the roof. And you cover it with branches to be kosher schach. And you already have a mezuzah in the doorway. V'achar hasukai, so what do you do after sukkahs? Mashlichin haschach, you discard the schach. U'mekarin emakiri kimi kaidem. And then you cover it with your old roof. You restore the roof. V'hamezuzah kedekoi koi. And the mezuzah stays the way it is. Im yofehim oisim oiloi. Is what they're doing correct? Now you might ask, what could possibly be the problem? Oh, excellent. Good. So Rabbi Yechmiel is way ahead of us, of course, so let's catch up with him. V'das gadol echad, there's a certain gadol, he doesn't say the name.
One test, please.
Okay. That the problem is that even when you restore the original roof, the mezuzah now that has been there from before doesn't work. Because of tasav leimin asui. What's the din of tasav leimin asui? The classic case of tasav leimin asui in, let's say, Hilchos Sukkah is a chaytet v'gadish, right? You have a haystack. So you can make walls out of hay, you can make schach out of hay. So the farmer decides, I'm just going to carve out a little sukkah inside, and it should be my sukkah. The halach is as possible. Why? Because it says, sukkah is taseh, you should make a sukkah. V'loy min ha'asui, it can't be something that's already been made, and you just remove that which impedes your use, right? There are similar halachas in Hilchos Tzitzis, right? If you, let's say you have a garment that doesn't have four corners. Let's say you take a round piece of cloth and you put the tzitzis on four spots and then you cut the corners, it's going to be pasul. Or if you have a new talus and you want to transplant the tzitzis from your old talus, so you remove the corner with the hole and the string stitched in there, that would be a problem. You can't just transplant them to the
mold.
Well, they were made lishma originally. The problem is you can't transplant tzitzis from one to another. You would have to undo all the knots and then redo them.
Why would I think that a mezuzah is such an inyan? Because the mezuzah doesn't say anywhere about a
seal. Yeah.
As opposed to a sukkah, it does say a seal.
Very good. Right. So, there's a machlekes showing him how that works. Rashi and Menachis, I think it's Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, says that the reason there's tasav leimen ha'asid by mezuzah is because we learn out mezuzah from tzitzis. I think he means because they're adjacent in the parsha of Shema. And other Rishonim have different reasons. I do not remember. Pardon?
In our sitters.
In our sitters.
Not in the Talmud.
Mm-hmm. The Talmud also. Okay. So, I think you're right. I'm making a mistake. Yeah. Right. In the sitter. No, it can't be. We don't learn Hekish in the sitter. You're right. I have to look it up again. Rashi Lama Gimel Lama Aleph. Okay, very good. So you're also ahead of us. So let's catch up. Yeah? All right, let's go back. Let's get back to the... Everyone agrees that there's Tassalim and Asa ben Mezuzah. The question is just how we know it. And the question is just whether it applies over here. It's the Gemara. I'll tell you where the Gemara is. The Gemara is in Lama Gimel and Aleph in Menachos. The Gemara says that they wanted to sell in Eichler's. You know, people want fancy doorposts and people want fancy mezuzahs. So they were going to sell the fancy doorways with the mezuzahs on, and then you just install it like that. You install the mashkeif with the mezuzah. And the Gemara says here it's puzzle. You have to first build the doorway and then attach the mezuzah. The Rishonim question, like everyone's asking here, what is the source for Tasa Lamanasa? Because it doesn't use the word Tasa by mezuzah the way it does by Tzitzis and by Sukkah. Yeah. Okay. Pardon? The Rambam. So the Shulchan Aruch will say that soon. Oh, what's the difference?
Yeah.
Ah.
In the case of
So right. So everybody's raising this issue. So guess what? The Arba Turei Evan agrees with this. Let's see what he says. He says, "V'harav bal ha-mechaber chaylik alav." This is a Piskei Tshuva writing. The Mechaber, the Arba Turei Evan argues on the Gadol Echad, brat with one test. First of all, he says, I don't agree with you on this whole concept that when you remove the roof from your regular room and you put up schach, that it becomes pater from mezuzah. The imishum the sukkah diras arai. If you're going to tell me the reason is because sukkah diras arai, hare cheder ze diras keva kol hashana. Bishlam, if you go out to your backyard and you take some wood that you got, you scrounged from someone's construction project, and you put together something that's only a sukkah for sukkahs. So that doesn't need a mezuzah. But who said if I have a regular room that I just removed the roof from, I'm living in it all other 358 days of the year? Or 347 if you're from, right? I'm living it all year round. I'm also living it on a sukkah. That doesn't mean that it should be pater from mezuzah. Ve'ad kan lo patrin on sukkah sechag, elo kishoysel l'shem chag. Al karchach? Okay, I disagree with him. It says Ayin Kuf here. You have Al Karchach?
No, I have Ayin Kuf.
I think it's Adkan. Meaning, the Gemara used that to mean only so far. Okay, in any case, it's only Pater when you make it for Sukkot. Kisha'isa is a Diras Keva Petura, the Mikri Diras Ari. Even if I make it a Diras Keva, meaning even if I nail together a nice Sukkah because I'm in construction and I have a nice way of making a Sukkah, it's still considered Diras Ari halachically. That's the first reason that the Arba Turei Evan argues on the Gadol Echad. He says that if it's part of my house, it's chayiv in mezuzah, even on sukkahs. What about Tassalim and Asli? I'm sorry, let's just finish the sentence. And don't tell me that because it doesn't have a normal roof, it's not chayiv in mezuzah. That's normal for this particular setup. Now he argues in the second part. This is what everybody was saying. The psul of tasav loimina asoi loihavi ela kishemi techilo nase bepsul. When it was originally made in a oifen that it's pasul, and then it became kosher after the fact.
So you could tie your tzitzis onto the other beggar then.
Yeah, I want to get to that. Abla mitchilo nase behechsher. If in the beginning when it was made it was kosher. I'm sorry, did I skip a line?
The
cheder shechayv mezuzah was made in a room that's chayv in mezuzah. Even if it becomes potter afterward, mi mezuzah, like they take off the roof or something similar. When it gets fixed afterward, you're merely restoring the original situation and it's kosher. The ein bazeh mishum tasev loy man ha'asoi ayin sham bayrach. So there are two disputes over here. Dispute number one is, if I build a sukkah in a room that's really part of my house, is it pater from mezuzah in the first place? The second machlekes, which is a much wider range in machlekes, is, is there bechlal a psul of taslam and also, even if you accept that for the 7 days of Sukkot it was pater from mezuzah, but since before Sukkot it was chayiv, and after Sukkot it was chayiv, do I really have to go take off the mezuzah again and reattach it? The Gadol Echa will hold that you have to do that. Okay. Now, how do we paskin?
But don't we
learn
that
you're not taking off mezuzah? Yeah, but this wouldn't be stamazai. This would be for halachic reason. The Mishnah Brura in Arachayin Simen Tuf Reish Chafav in Hilchis Sukkah, Tuf Reish Chafav Seif Katan Chaf Aleph writes, Shem the Prima Gadim, Mezuzah B'Sukkah Pater. Mezuzah, a sukkah is pater for mezuzah. Umashma, says the Prima Gadim, it's mashma to me. Cheder shall call Hashanah Shador by Tamid. Even if it's a build, it's a room that people live there all year. Ubesukim meisir hagag, and you take off the roof for sukkahs. Afilu hachi besukkahs ptura. To b'shiva yamim lav keva mikri. The Mishnah Brura paskins that if you remove the roof from a normal room in your house and put on tzchach, it's pater from mezuzah. And the lashon that he gives, the shem the prima gadim is to b'shiva yamim lav keva mikri. For those 7 days, it's not considered a permanent dwelling. It's considered a transient dwelling.
Does that mean you take off the mezuzah?
I mean, so you don't have to take off the mezuzah, yeah. But question is going to be, you're allowed to have the mezuzah. The question becomes, what the Mishnah Brura does not take sides on is, what about the second question? When I restore my original roof, is the mezuzah pasul because of tasev loyman ha'asui? Here, he doesn't take sides. He doesn't say. Now, if you ask me, if we only had this Mishnah Brura, I would say, well, if he doesn't say it, then he doesn't mean it. He must hold that I'm maskim to the gadol echad, legabi the first shaylah, that for the 7 days of sukkahs, it's not really chayv mezuzah. Nafkamina would be, if I didn't put on mezuzah yet, or if the mezuzah fell off, I wouldn't be chayv to put it on. However, when it comes to the question of tasev lemin also, it's mashma from here that he agrees with what everyone is saying here, that there's no problem tasev lemin asui, and you just put back the roof, and the mezuzah is kosher as it was. There are those who argue that from something that the Mishnah Brura said in Chelek Aleph, in Hilchas Tzitzis, there may be a raya one way or another. I actually want to point out, this yesod, that there's no tassel in asli when you merely restore what you had before, is in certain situations beferish. The Shulchan Aruch says that if you, why don't you have a problem every time you have a shlak, right? You can, if you close the shlak, you have a shlak is a English word that means covering
means
on your
shlak,
sukkah,
shlak
right? Yeah. So you have some kind of roof that comes down over your sukkah when it rains. Now, when you can't sit there while it's, the roof is on there, you're not yaitze. So every time you open it, you can sit there, you're not yaitze mitzvah, right? So how come every time you open the shlak, don't you have a chiyuv to remove the schach and restore it and put it back because of tassel and asik? The Shulchan Aruch doesn't give an explanation, but he says beferush that there's no problem. It says mutter lasei sasuka tachas agaga hasuyas leftoyach v'liskar mutter l'sargrim v'nei gishamim. So the Farish is no problem. So Magen Avraham explains, and Farshim explain that in this case the sukkah isn't affected at all. There's something external. There's something over the schach that's making it that I wouldn't be yotze if I sat in that sukkah. But the sukkah is exactly the same sukkah as it was before. When I remove the shlak, the sukkah is still as kosher as it was before. There's no problem of tasav lemin asu. That is the way it passes. Okay. Now, in Hilchas Tzitzis, in Eira Chayim, Simen Tes Vav, Sif Katan Vav, the Mishnah Brura talks about what happens if I'll read to you the case of Shulchan Aruch. Eina yachol likach hakonof k'moy shehu im hatzitzis. You're not allowed to just cut off the corner with the tzitzis attached, ula toifrei bebeget acher, and to attach it to another garment. Mishnah Brura says, without the tzitzis, you're allowed to attach it. What does he mean? He means it's like this. Let's say I have a garment with three corners. The last corner is ragged. It's no good. Or it's something's wrong with it, or I want to strengthen it. And I attach, sew on a square piece of cloth, and then I put on the tzitzis. So of course, that's kosher. But the Mishnah Brura points out, what about the other three corners? The other three corners, if they had tzitzis already, and one corner gets torn off, so for that moment, there's no chiyuv. And then I attach another square of cloth. Now I want to tie on strings to the fourth corner. What about the other three? Why isn't there tassel and ha'asli in the other three? In fact, the Mishnah Brura paskins, there is a problem of tassel and ha'asli in the other three. So let's think. We had a kosher talus. One corner got torn. I fixed it, and then I put on the tzitzis. And the Mishnah Berurah is telling me the tzitzis that were there before have to be redone because of tassel aminasi. So there are some who want to bring a raya that the Mishnah Berurah holds that there is a problem of tassel aminasi on something that was originally kosher and then became pasul. Well, if it doesn't have three corners, it's pasul putter, the mitzvah doesn't apply to only three corners, right. Right.
Not only that, the obligation for the sukkah is totally different on the obligation for the talis. One is for what Yamar, one is for what Hadar.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So we have really we have two extremes and a case that might be somewhere in the middle. We have a case of the shlak on the sukkah. There's nothing wrong with the sukkah whatsoever. Everybody's masking. There's no tassel aminasi. We have a case where a corner gets torn off the tzitzis where the Mishnah Berurah at least paskins there is a problem of tassel aminasi. So why was he silent when it came to the sukkah in the house? It's possible that this is, you know, the question is this more like the shlak case or more like the tzitzis case? Hard to know. I'm not 100% sure because it's not like there was something wrong with the building. It's not like panim chadashes bol the kind of tzitzis. More extreme soul. It doesn't have four corners. Over here, it's a diras keva, then it becomes a diras arai, then it goes back to being diras keva. It's not so clear to me, but it's possible that the fact that the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say anything in Hilchos Sukkah still could tell me that you won't have to remove the mezuzah and put it back after Sukkot.
If a guy has a side room in his house and he turns it into a bathroom,
yeah,
he doesn't take off the mezuzah.
Right.
And the guy comes in and says, what's doing here?
Right.
Mm-hmm. He has to put a new mezuzah on.
It seems like that could be the same question if he then undoes the bathroom, yeah. The question is whether you would have to remove it and put it back.
I think.
No, because the mitzvah is the attachment of the mezuzah after its chayav. I think so. Maybe I'm making a mistake. Maybe you'd only have to make another bracha. Did anybody come across a similar case before? I don't know. Yeah, if it was only a question of bracha, you wouldn't do it. That's right.
Now, the piece of wood with the wool on it falls down with the mezuzah.
If it falls down, you reattach it. Right. You should.
No, not the mezuzah.
I understand. The whole doorway falls down.
What if the kivayg is in? Kivayg is sent to leave your house.
Yeah, and you come back, make another bracha. I mean, he doesn't say to take it off and reattach it. It may be the same question. I'm not sure. Now, a more serious question, the underlying question is really the first one. Abba Tori Evan asked a very strong kasha. He said, if I have a house that I live in all year, and for 1 week I removed the roof and made it into a sukkah, Why are we saying Sukkah Diras Arai overrides? Why do we say that now it becomes putter from Sukkah? Like that's what he said. He said the Godolech is making a fundamental mistake here. Bishlama Sukkah that I build in my backyard just for 7 days. And the Gemara says that the Rabbanan holds Sukkah Diras Arai, so I understand why it's putter. But if it's a room I live in all year, why does it lose its kashir? Why does it become putter for those few days? Right? That's the machlokes. I wanted to point out, pardon?
Why does
Godel Echad and Mishnah Berurah hold that way?
You want to be yaiti,
right?
It's a sukkah, and it's sukkah is amroi.
Okay.
You want to be yaiti, that whatever it takes, you do it.
But is living here keva or arai?
And in sukkah, if you live there with your bed and your fridge and your
right,
sink and your stove, it's yeah, still amroi.
So it's a very important point.
He said it should be worth it.
That means even if the sukkah is a building that the walls are up all year, and all I did is change the roof, the din of Sukkah Diras Arai overrides the fact that I live there all year and tells me that at this point it's considered like a transient dwelling and it becomes Pater. There's a Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yehuda, think about Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds Sukkah Diras Keva. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're supposed to put a mezuzah on your sukkah. We don't pass in this way. Very interesting. The halacha is that a sukkah needs to have Dalet Ames al Dalet Ames. We're going to learn that soon, but everybody knows that. A house has to have Dalet Ames to Dalet Ames in order to be Chayv and Mezuzah. Sorry. A sukkah only has to have Zayin Tfachim or Zayin Tfachim. Right? Rabbi Yehuda holds that if I have a Mezuzah that's Zayin Tfachim or Zayin Tfachim, the Yerushalmi says in the first parak of Sukkah, it's Chayv and Mezuzah. Means even something that for a house would be Pater, for a sukkah is Chayv. Because he holds that Sukkah Diras Keva overrides the general halachas of how I look at this dwelling. So too for us, the Rabbanon. Pardon? Only on Sukkot, right? That's right. For the Rabbanon, the din of Sukkot Diras Arai overrides the fact that it's Chayv Mezuzah all year. So it comes out. It's Sar Safuchos. You could have a room that Lefi Rabbi Yehuda will be Pater a whole year, I'll be chayiv on Sukkot, and Fidar Abanon will be chayiv a whole year and putter on Sukkot. That is the first din of Sukkot, the Chag, the Chag. Now, I want to get, we'll get back to that later.
That's
now,
how you do. When do you put on the mezuzah?
When do you put on, according to Rabbi Yehuda? I guess you put it up.
Days.
I don't know. No, you don't have 30 days, because if it belongs to you, you have to do it right away. I guess you have to do it right before Sukkot starts.
When do you focus on the Sukkot yet?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer. I guess that since you're about to move in, that would be okay. That's a good chap. I don't know the answer. All right. Okay. The next din in the Shulchan Aruch is Habayis Shebesvina, a house on a boat. A house on a boat. There's no. It's very hard to understand what the makar is. Right. What is a makar? The Be'er HaGoyel. There's no Gemara that explicitly deals with whether you have to put a mezuzah on a boat. There's no Gemara in the Bavli. The Be'er HaGoyla says nothing. The Be'er HaGra says that it's a Braisa which is mentioned by the Rishonim. But he doesn't give the source because we don't have this Braisa anywhere. So, where does it say that you're putter if it's on a boat? Now, the Rav must have mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. In the very beginning of Hilchos Mezuzah, there's a discussion in the Ramah whether if you only have enough money for mezuzah or for tefillin, what you should get. The Shulchan Aruch says you should get tefillin rather than a mezuzah because it's a chayves haguf. And there's a long Rabbi Akiva Eger. I'm assuming you didn't go through this all inside, but maybe the Rav spoke it out. Rabbi Akiva Eger mentions that there's a Yerushalmi that talks about what's more important, mezuzah or tefillin. And the Yerushalmi uses an interesting lashon. The Yerushalmi says that tefillin, if you don't have tefillin, you're chayiv to go get tefillin, right? If you don't have a house, you're not mechayiv to build a house in order to have to be chayiv in mezuzah, right? So that's what the Rabbi Akiva Eger explains. That's what the Ramah meant when he says that tefillin is a chayves haguf.
It's like
right. If you have it, it's a mitzvah kiyumis. The lashon of the Yerushalmi is, and let me see if we may be able to see it. The Rabbi Akiva Eger is the very first Rabbi Akiva Eger in Hilchos Mezuzah. If you have a regular Shulchan Aruch, you turn back one page to Siman Reish Pei Hei Sif Aleph. Let me see if I can find where it is exactly. It's about, I would say, 10, 13 lines in. It says, I'm not sure if all the prints are the same,
the
but it says,
wide,
what? Before the lines are wide, where the lines are narrow, if you go down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, yeah. You see Acher Zera Yisiv Yerushalmi? It's right after a period. I'm sorry, I could only help the people have the old school prints and the new prints. I don't know exactly where it's going to be. But it's okay, you can just listen, I'll say it over. Acher Zera Yisiv Yerushalmi, she mekar hadin yaitzi mimenu. He says that Yerushalmi uses the following lashon: Matzasi lahedi kumayshe kasafti v'hachi isa hasa. My time under Rav Huna, shekain hinay heges mimefarshe yamin v'holche medbariyos. That's all I want to quote. It says tefillin applies even to sailors and people who are traveling the desert. Right. So now people traveling the desert may be going by wagon. They may not have any house to live in. But mefarshe hayam means someone who's traveling in. By the sea, by ship, presumably, right? So even someone who's traveling by ship is chayov in tefillin. He's not chayov in mezuzah. So some of the mefarshim say this is our source that a ship is not chayov in mezuzah. And in fact, so now you could argue maybe the ship is potter for some other reason. Maybe it's not your ship. Maybe it doesn't have dalet al dalet. Maybe it doesn't have a roof. But it's pretty clear from the way the Rambam formulates this halacha, not in Hilchos Mezuzah, but in Hilchos Brachos. In Hilchos Brachos, Perek Yud Aleph, the Rambam explains the example, and it's pretty clear he's paraphrasing the Yerushalmi. He explains the difference between a mitzvah kiyumis, mitzvah chiyuvis, between mitzvahs like tefillin where you have to go and pursue, and mitzvahs that you're only mechuyiv if they're relevant to you. And it's Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Beis. He says like this: Yesh mitzvahs asay she'adam chayov lehishtadel v'lirdayf. There are mitzvahs where you have to try, you have to pursue. Ad she'yasa isa kegon tefillin v'sukkah v'lulav v'shofar. If you don't have them, you have a mechuyev to go get them. Ve'elu hein hamikron choiva. That's a mitzvah chiyuvis. Lefi sha'adam chayov al kol ponim la'asais. He's chayev to do it no matter what. Ve'yesh mitzvah she'en a choiva. There's some mitzvahs which are not a chiyuv, are opportunistic mitzvahs. El doimin l'rishus, kegoin. Mezuzah u'make. He says two examples. Mezuzah and make and building a fence around a roof. She'ain adam chayav lishkon bebayis a chayav mezuzah. You have no chiyav to go seek out a house that's chayav mezuzah kadei she'yasa mezuzah. Ella shilokain is like that. Ella imratza lishkon kol yomav ba'ayhel ay besfina yeshiv. Somebody wants to live his whole life in a tent or a boat, he can live there and he will never have the mitzvah of mezuzah or maka. That's his example. He seems to be paraphrasing the Yerushalmi.
How can he say after he kept the whole Torah if he lived in a tent his whole life?
It's a good question. Could be his tent looked different than our tent.
No? He
didn't. No, he said no mezuzahs. But it's only
when we say Avraham Avinu kept all the mitzvahs,
it's still a mitzvah.
It does not mean that there was no mitzvah that he didn't have an opportunity to do and do. He didn't do Yibum, right? I don't know that he did the mitzvah of eating truma batara. I don't know. We can think of a lot of mitzvahs that Avraham Avinu never did, right?
Shame.
Yeah, he was never honored at a dinner. So in any case, that's halacha. It seems to come from there. A boat is patur from mezuzah. The question is why? Why is the boat patur from mezuzah? If it doesn't have dalet al dalet, or it doesn't have a roof, or it doesn't have a doorway, so it's pashut. Even a house like that is not chayv mezuzah. So what's special about a boat? What makes a boat patur from mezuzah? So you could say because it moves. You could say because even if somebody lives on it for a long time, it's by definition. The question really is, the way that Achrayim say that
in the mezuzah part, it says somewhere in your land.
Where?
You rent the
house.
You rent the house.
Rent the house, though, that's something else.
For more than 30 years.
I want to talk about old kids. Basically, the Achrayim say, as the classic way of saying it is the hakira. They say, is the pshat is something about the object, about the heft of the boat, that it's by definition something more transient. It's not doima to a house, and therefore it's potter. Or does it have to do with the fact that the people living in there, in the boat, are not living there on a permanent basis? Now, the nafgimina to be pashut. If you, what? What about the captain, right? In other words, if I go for a cruise, and I rent my cabin, and I'm there for 30 days, it's a long cruise, right? My wife pays for it. Long cruise, and everything else is mechayiv mezuzah mechayiv me. So you have to, of course, stay home. No, I'm kidding. So she sent the kids with me. So I'm on this boat. After 30 days, for sure, I should be chayiv mezuzah. Still, because even though I'm staying for 30 days, I'm not living there in the nature that people normally live. It's transient. I'm going on a cruise. Therefore, I'm pater. But maybe the captain will be chayiv. If you say there's something more intrinsic about a boat, that a boat is not a house. Boat is not a house, so it doesn't matter if you're the captain. It doesn't matter if you live on a yacht for many months of the year or even all year. You should be still be putter. Right? So that's the underlying question here. I would point, I think a houseboat that stays docked may be even more reasonable that you should be chayav, because there it's almost irrelevant that it's in a boat. It doesn't go anywhere.
So why say the Eli, Rabbi Eli? Why even say... Because the Sfina should say that you're putzer from mezuzah on more than 75% of the earth because it's yam. That's because
it's putzer on the yam. I don't know. I think the reason is because Shulchan Aruch is talking about something practical. If you're on a boat. All right. Now the Achrayim talk about this, and everybody's maskim that if you're just going for a cruise, it's not your. You don't live there permanently. You don't live there long term. That you're putzer from mezuzah. Not even without a bracha. However, a case where you're the captain or the crew, that's a shaila. The Minchas Yitzchak paskins that you should put a mezuzah without a bracha. Minchas Yitzchak, yeah. Chelik Beis, Simon Pei Beis, I think. And the Baron Moshe says you should not put a mezuzah at all. That's Chelik Beis, Simon Pei Ches. Now, not a lot of people call Rabbanim saying, I'm the captain of a ship, what should I do with my cabin? It becomes relevant in other types of transient dwellings. What if I live in a mobile home? Now, a mobile home that's in a trailer park, the fact that it has wheels is not relevant. It doesn't matter. The mice that doesn't move. The fact that it could move probably doesn't make a difference. The question is, something like an RV, where you go driving up and down, you go camping, apparently there are people who do this. What's the halacha then?
Shear is more an issue about having a large enough
room. So if it has a shear and it has all the other things that are mechayev of you, so it should be the same halacha. And therefore, everyone should, if you want to go camping...
That's not that kevah, that's arai.
So it depends how long you're going to live there. Yeah, but if you're going to be there for a long time, that's the question. So some Paiskim will say, right, some Paiskim will say that, like you're saying, that it doesn't matter. It's similar to a boat. It's a dearest arai, no matter if you live there 30 days, 60 days. And other Paiskim may tell you to put it on. I don't know the halacha l'maisa. Everyone should ask their local Orthodox shem. So one important thing is, it's almost a meferish Rambam. The Rambam I just read to you seems to be beferish. The Rambam's lashon was that not everybody will ever be chayv mezuzah, right? You don't have to go and seek out a house that's chayv mezuzah, because if somebody wanted, he could be dar kol yomav v'sfina. He could live his whole life in a boat. Now, if you live your whole life in a boat, and the Rambam says you're still putter, it's mashma very clearly that if you're a captain of a ship, and let's say you don't even have a house at home, right? Some people have a house on shore. Well, you live on the ship. Ship is your house. You're still putter. Kamap Feirish this way. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, in his Sefer and Hilchos Mezuzah, he says it's possible to be madche that maybe the case is that the ship isn't chayav because it doesn't have a normal roof, or because it doesn't have some other type of aspect that passes it from mezuzah. It's a big daichak, because then it has nothing to do with being a boat. Pashtus Shulchan Aruch says a boat is putter, that means a boat is putter. No ifs, ands, or buts. And that seems to be the halacha over here. Right, that's what I'm saying. It shouldn't be different. I don't know. Does it say so? The truth is, Lugavi, other halachas, there's halachas of Oyel Zorok, there's a lot in the Achrayim that the halachas of bias for different things have different rules. Rochas Shabbos, Rochas Erevin, they don't always go together. Now let's try to finish at least one sif today. The third phrase. Who? In which case? An RV? I'm not passing any halacha. I just want to talk about the halacha. Yeah. And an RV. It depends who you ask. Some Paiskim will say that if you're really moving into the RV for a long term, then it may be better than just taking a cruise in a ship. It depends. The way it seems from the Rambam, unless there's something special about a boat, you should not put on a mezuzah, as far as I understand. Okay. Yeah, an airplane, usually people don't stay in an airplane for long enough to be chayav, but if you fly in one of those crazy first class suites and you owned it, you'd have to be 30 days, it's not your plane. But
the water is really always
yeah. Right. But we don't. There's nowhere clearly where it says moving makes you putter. So that's the question. Okay.
Why does Rabbi Akiva Ege use the lashon as mefarshe yamin? He doesn't say on a spina. He says mefarshe yamin.
That's the lashon of the. That's the lashon of the Yerushalmi. So. Okay. The last phrase in this sif is vachanuya shebishvakim. This is actually one of the most relevant cases over here. This is relevant to anyone who has a business. Chanuya shebishvakim turim. The last phrase here, the last case of Sif Yud Aleph is, what happens if I have a store, a shop? A shop in the market is pater from mezuzah, right? So we have to understand, why is a shop pater from mezuzah? Let's read the Taz. The Taz Sifkat Yud says, Delav dirois ninhu. The reason why a shop is putter, because it's not a place of dwelling. Not a place of dwelling. Even if someone sits there all day, that means he has his meals there, maybe he takes a nap there, he's there all day. Peturim, he's still putter. Since they don't stay there at night, they go home. Mikre arai. Very interesting. This is a halacha that everybody learns in Yeshiva, in the third parak of in Cheshibatim, in Bava Basra, Gabi a chazaka, that if you occupy property for 3 years and you argue that it belongs to you, you don't need to have proof, right? If the owner doesn't object and then he comes after 3 years, then he loses the dentira. So it says there that if you're not there at night also, if you're just there by day, then you don't have a chazaka in 3 years. It's a question whether you do get a chazaka, but it takes 6 years, or if you can never get a chazaka at all. In any case, the Taz says that has the same halacha for Hilchis Mezuzah, that if you're there by day and not at night, then it's not chayv mezuzah. Okay, so we're going to get there. We're going to get to that too. The Prisha held that that was shver. We'll explain soon what that is, why that is. But I hold that it is potter, like I'm saying. Now, what he's saying is really another kasha. You don't have to live in a place for it to be chayav. A place where you store your property is also chayav in mezuzah,
right,
if you own it, right? So why, if you have your stuff in the store, why isn't it chayav because of what you keep there? So that's an excellent question that he asked himself. His answer is a little hard to understand. Maybe someone could teach me what it means. Desham, tashmish hashayach loy, the use that it's appropriate for, ein chiluk ben yom v'laila, meaning it's a storage place that's made to be stored, to have stuff stored in all the time, and therefore there's no distinction between day and night. I don't fully comprehend what he's saying. I'm not the only one. Almost all of the acharonim argue on this halach, on this taz, and they say that a shop is chayiv. He's saying it's potter for two reasons. One is that you're not there at night, and the second reason is because the halacha of a storage house don't apply for some reason I don't comprehend. First of all, we had a shach last week. I wasn't here, but you had a shach last week. Ligabi a beis hamedrash. The shach, sif katan yud tes, right? Beis hamedrash, it said in sif yud that there's one shita that holds potter and one shita that holds chayav, right? So the shita that holds chayav says the shach in sif katan yud tes. Beis HaKnesses, which means a house that's only used, a building that's only used for prayer, everyone holds this potter. The Eino Chayv Mezuzah, Elam Ken Yesh by Beis Dira, unless somebody lives there. The Beis HaMedrash, Kevan Sheh Talmidim Yoishrim Shom, Meha Boiker, V'ad Erev, since the students stay there from morning till night, must be one of the Shtark Yeshivas, right? So Daimel Adira, since they're there from morning till night. Okay. So now, it seems that the Shach, at the surface, it seems that the Shach and the Taz are arguing about this. The Shach is saying that if you have a building that's used all day, and then they close it at night and all these students go home, it's Chayiv and Mezuzah. And the Taz is saying a shop is putter because people are not there at night. So Chayra, if you ask the Shach, what do you hold about a store, about a shop, he would hold it's Chayiv. Right? Now, one interesting point is, what? So first of all, right. Now, what does night mean? Does night mean that if I'm still there after Shkia, so I'm there at night also? You have a store that opens 9 a.m. and they close 9 p.m. And sunset is before 5. So people are there at night. In the shul, right? In the yeshiva, right? The night seder ends at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, depending what yeshiva it is. Right? So they are there at night. Not only there by day. So I'm not certain. You know, if somebody really wanted, they can make shalom between the Taz and the Shach and say, the Shach, when he says min ha-boiker v'ad ha-erev, he means into the evening. Ad v'ad b'chlal. And when the Taz says they're not there by night, he means they're only there during the day and they close up shop at night. But I don't have any riot to this.
I could maybe have an answer.
Go ahead.
You know those things they put down before Pesach in front of the store?
So let's see the Piskei Tshuva. I'm sorry, I don't want to cut you off,
yeah.
But the Piskei Tshuva is interrupting us, so let's see that, okay? Yeah, the Piskei Tshuva, Se'if Katan Yud. Se'if Katan Yud. V'achanu yeshe b'shvakim. Ayin ba'er heitei, v'ayin b'sefer yad ha-ketano al ha-rambam perek beiz mihilchus mezuzah oischof aleph she'toma alzeh. He said, it's very shver. Like all the Achareinim really asked this question. He said, why in the world should a store be potter? If there's any merchandise that's there permanently, right? It means even if you don't agree with the Shach, even if you hold that since people aren't there all day, all night, it should be potter, but people store their merchandise there. The owner stores his merchandise there. And even if the person takes all his merchandise with him and he doesn't leave anything there, you should still be chayev because he's passing like the Shach. Right, he leaves out nights later here. Right? And almost every one of the Achrayim and the Paiskim Paskin like this. And the Yana Ketana comes to the conclusion. The Kavanas HaTor V'HaShulchan Aruch B'Chanuyos She'oisin B'Yoyma D'Shuka. These are talking about little stalls that they set up for a fair. A flea market. B'Krachim G'daylim. Kosher fest. Right? V'Oimdim Shom HaChanuyos B'Shuk Rak Kol Meshach HaYerid V'Achakach Mefarkam Oysam. That's the case. The case is, and he says, that's why it's being mentioned here in the same Se'if as a sukkah and a ship. The point is that in this situation, it is a diras arai. It is temporary in its scope, not in how often you use it in 24 hours, but the fact that it's going to be torn down after the fair ends. So that's what it's talking about, he says. So you have a guy who goes to the kosher fest and he rents himself a booth, and he's so busy working there that he sleeps there and he eats there and he doesn't move from there for a long time. He's there for 30 days, 40 days, don't know how long the kosher fest is, but any such situation, or if he owns it, then he'll be chayiv right away. It's still pater from mezuzah. That is the halacha, which means halacha lemaisa.
He sleeps there according to the taz, he would be chayiv.
That's true. The taz would be maskim if he lived there. That's right.
Not for 3 days.
Which means halacha lemaisa, and that's why somebody pointed out that all the Jewish shops have mezuzahs on them. Because everybody except for the taz holds that a shop is chayiv in mezuzah if you're there during the day, even if you're not there during the night, or if you store your merchandise there. Because there are two separate reasons to be chayiv. Because of the reason of Beis HaOitzer. Right. There are poskim who say that you should even put it up with a bracha. I know that if you ask my father, he'll tell you not to make a bracha because we do have the taz here. The taz says. Now, you know, it could be if it's a store that's open, if it's a 24-hour store, then it should be chayav.
There are bathrooms and eating places in them in all these stores and like this thing in the back, kitchen in the back,
yeah,
washrooms, everything.
Right, it becomes semi-permanent, right? There are people who have done these experiments. They tried living in Walmart, right, for 5 days in a row.
Eat them.
The ones that are open 24 hours. What? A Beis HaMedrash, no. I'll tell you why. Because a Beis HaMedrash, there's a machloikis in the Shulchan Aruch whether it's chayav or not. You see, in Sif Yud, it says Beis HaMedrash is Potter. Some say you're Chayav, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch says that you should put a mezuzah but not make a bracha. So when they put a mezuzah on a Beis HaMedrash, it's not, they don't make it. No, there's a svara for a store to be more chayav than a Beis HaMedrash. Because the owner stores his merchandise there. If he doesn't, maybe, yeah, I would agree. The shach doesn't say to make a bracha, but he's only explaining the shita that says it's chayav. Okay. Alright, let's learn one more se'if. This se'if... Oh, I actually want to speak out one other thing. Let's say you don't own the store, but you have an office there. Let's say you work in an office building, and you have an office that's your office. You have an office that has Dalet al Dalet, and maybe you're a starting lawyer, so you sleep and eat there, and you live there almost all the time, right? So there the Paiskim discuss if there's any purpose in putting a mezuzah there. So there are two levels. First of all, if the owner is not Jewish and the worker is Jewish, the Paiskim say it's not chayav. And they give a lot of svaras for it, but it's interesting. Let's say the lawyer is Jewish. He has an office. It's his office. No, he keeps his stuff there. He sleeps there. But the owner of the building, right? Is not, now you might say it's similar to being rented to you because it's your exclusive property. But everyone agrees that this is worse. They say, you're not chayiv to put a mezuzah on a jail. Dear Valkarcha Lashon Adira. So they argue that you're not really living here. You have to do your work. It's really the owner's office. He's just using you. So that everyone agrees. The question is the tshuva in the Minchas Yitzchak? It's the one right after the other one, the one about the boat.
Being a lawyer is like being a jail.
Being a lawyer, it could depend what your job is. No, but the point is, it's not really for your use. It's for the boss's use. He's got to provide you with an office. If the building belongs to a Jewish person, the Minchas Yitzchak suggests that if you can do it tactfully, you should put a mezuzah. Because the owner is really chayav in mezuzah, it's his building, and according to these shitas that a shop is chayav, let's say the boss has an office there too. It's his business. I mean, right? So
rent an apartment if he's sleeping.
Rent an apartment. We'll get to, but this is worse than renting an apartment because it's not really for your use. The boss is just keeping you there while you do your work. In any case, he says you could be mezaka the Baal HaBayis with a mitzvah. He says you could be mitzi him sort of be then arvos kol Yisrael ravim zelazeh, and therefore he says that it's not a bad idea to put a sukkah
if you're a landlord.
So that's the halacha that he just pointed out. The mezuzah is the responsibility of whoever lives there. So if you're a landlord and you rent out to goyim, it doesn't need a mezuzah, and if you rent out to Jews, then the person who rents it from you is supposed to take care of the mezuzah himself. Okay.
What if the landlord is a Russia?
If the landlord is a Russia, so you shouldn't be renting from him.
A Yid is a Russia.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to let you put a mezuzah there.
No, a Yid is not Shomer Shabbos.
Shomer Shabbos.
And him in this case?
I don't know. The Minchas Yitzchak's case, he says, the person is not medaktik b'mitzvah. So I don't know if he's not Mishra Russia. I don't know. Okay, let's learn another sif so Rabbi Reisen won't be upset at me. Yes. What did the Rav say? The Rav is talking. They could change offices. It's not really yours. Okay. Good. Sif Yud Beis is the sif that's not negeya and very negeya. Shtei sukai shal yoitzrim zu lufinimizu. If I have two, what are sukai shal yoitzrim? A yoitzer is a potter. A potter. Kechaymer biyad ha-yoitzer, it says in Yirmiyah. Sukai shal yoitzrim, no, a regular potter. Zu lufinimizu. Ha-penimis chayeves v'achitzoyna petura. So what does that mean? They have a potter shop that has two rooms. An inner room and an outer room. The inner room is where the guy hangs out most of the time, and he has sort of like a showroom on the outside. The Gemara says in Sukkah Daf Ches that it's the inner one is chayv and mezuzah, the outer one is pater for mezuzah. And the Gemara asks the kasha va'amai lahavi kebeis shar. We learned that a beis shar, right? You had this already, I think, in the past. That if it's a sort of an entranceway, there's a separate room, a vestibule. Thank you. I went to a school in Borough Park, so I don't know these words. Vestibule. That leads into a place that's chayav in mezuzah. It itself is also chayav in mezuzah. So how come the outer room over there is not chayav in mezuzah? And the Gemara gives a cryptic answer. The Gemara says because it's not kavua. It is not kavua, but it doesn't identify what it means. And here there's a machlekes between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi says they're both not kavua. That means this little potter's shack is be'etzem not kavua. He doesn't live there. He doesn't explain exactly what he does do there and he doesn't do there. It must be even less than the store or shop that we just learned. So the question though is, so then why is the inner one chayv mezuzah? Right? The Gemara says the inner one is chayv mezuzah. So Rashi's learning, it's enough to be chayv mezuzah for itself. It's kavua enough to be chayv mezuzah. But the vestibule leading to it is pater from mezuzah because it's less kavua. Very unclear, he doesn't explain. The Rambam gives an easier explanation. He says it means the outer room is not kavua. The inner room is kavua, the outer room is not kavua. Again, he doesn't explain the metzias, what this means. Does he mean it's sometimes taken apart? Does he mean he doesn't use it all the time? The Rishonim are very silent about this. Unfortunately, we don't have a Sukkah Shal Yoitzrim on Coney Island Avenue, because then if you'd ask the Rav, it would be very hard to determine whether it fits the criteria of Kavua or not. However, there's one very important halacha, which is Negei L'maisa. According to the Rambam, we learn a new halacha, that if I have a room that is Kavua, and the Beis Shar, the vestibule leading to it, is not kavua, it's pater from mezuzah. The Beis Shar is pater from mezuzah, and the permanent building is.
Sometimes in the winter they build these things to like keep the air.
That would be a good example, perhaps. Right. So it's very relevant. Also, you know, if not for the Rambam, I would have argued that a Beis Shar, by definition, isn't chayav because it itself is chayav and mezuzah. There's machlekes, for example. What happens if the Beis Shar is not dalet al dalet? So it's machlekes a paiskim.
It's less than a shear if you still get a mezuzah.
If you should put a mezuzah there, right? So a lot of paiskim say it doesn't have to be dal al dal by itself. It's chayav because it's leading into a place that's chayav, not because it itself is chayav. It seems here the Rambam is saying no. A beis shar is only chayav and mezuzah if it itself fits the criteria for being chayav and mezuzah. I'll tell you why it's very relevant. What happens if somebody builds a sukkah? Now we pass in the sukkah does not need a mezuzah. What happens if somebody builds a sukkah for convenience, right up against his back door in his backyard?
Yeah.
Right? The sukkah is not chaya, but now it's the beis shar for your house. Right? So, chayra, if a beis shar doesn't need its own chiyuv, then it should be chayav in mezuzah. Then you should have to put a mezuzah on your sukkah because it's the beis shar. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah, let me read to you the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tafresh Chavav, Sivkan Chav Aleph. If that sounds familiar, it's the same one I was reading for you before about the guy who removed his roof. And he says, "Misha yesh lo shnei chadarim zelef nimizeh. Im haylech mi chedre l'sukkah. If he goes from his room to the sukkah, pesach hasukkah tzarech mezuzah mishum chedre. It needs a mezuzah because it leads into his other room. Im haylech mi sukkah l'chedre. If the way to get to his room is through the sukkah, beinyan sha pesach hu mi chedre hasukkah. So the entrance is from the sukkah. Yesh loimer shechayev hu b'mezuzah b'pesach hasukkah hapesuch l'rshus harabim u'kedayme dehavi kebeis shar." So Mishnah Berurah paskins l'maisa that sukkah does have the halachas of a beis shar. So even though it itself is pater because we say sukkah diras arai, but it's chayev because it's a beis shar. This is very relevant on a regular basis.
Are you talking about a sukkah during the festival sukkahs or a sukkah the rest of the year? Because we still use
it. Shouldn't.
It.
Yeah, I think it wouldn't matter.
Well, I think during the rest of the year, for sure, you would need a mezuzah. But based on the Shulchan Aruch here, maybe there's a question.
Yeah, Rav Chaim Kanievsky points out that the halacha that the Mishnah Berurah mentioned should be tully in this machlekes of how you learn the case of Sukkah Shel Yitzrim, and therefore he suggests that maybe we should go with the Rambam and patter it, or at least not make a bracha. Yeah?
When you have a sukkah behind the house, doesn't, in order for it to be mechayev in a mezuzah, it has to be derech knisa, going from the outside?
Yeah, right. So I mean, see, I'm thinking about like my parents' house, where you can get into the house from the backyard because you can go down the driveway. If it would be fenced out,
right?
And then into your house, right? We sometimes use the back door, right? And there are plenty of sukkahs that are in the front. That's true. He points out it's pesach or shesarabim, which sounds like it's the front. That's a good point. Certainly, if it's in the front, this would be a very serious shaila. Okay, I guess we should stop here. I just want to point out we're going to start Yud Gimel next time. We have three more. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to stop early? Or I'm just not allowed to end late? Which one? I'm not allowed to stop early. Okay, Sif Yud Gimel is a halacha that everybody's familiar with, that nothing is chayev in mezuzah unless it has four dalet amos al dalet amos. How many feet is that? No, there's no halacha that nobody's allowed to leave early. I'm just, Rabbi Yochanan said I'm not allowed to stop early, so I'm going to just go. Dalet al dalet, dalet amos al dalet amos. So that's 16 square amos, but how much exactly that is in inches depends on the different shiurim. 9 and farsik feet. Now, the question over here is, it says, let's read it clear. Bayish evay dalet amos al dalet amos pater. If it doesn't have 4 amos by 4 amos pater, v'im yesh boy kedei l'rabeya dalet amos al dalet amos b'shaveh. If it's possible to square out, literally l'rabeya means square out, means to sketch out 4 amos by 4 amos evenly, afal pisha arkoi yesar al rachvay, even if it's longer than it is wide, it's a rectangle, oishu ugul, or if it's circular, a bal hei zavyes, or it's a pentagon, it's chayav. Yeah? There's a major shaila. Most paiskim learn, and a lot of the rishonim learn that a pentagon house, pretty cool, right? Most paiskim learn that what this means is that it's only a question of having 49 square feet. It could be a little longer, long and narrow, or it could be right. Now the Shach makes this point. There's really machlekes. There are some rishonim who hold that it has to be a minimum of, it has to be able to encompass a square of four amos by four amos. So that means if it was narrower than 4 amos, even if it was 100 amos long, it would be pater. Shulchan Aruch seems on the surface to be taking the side that we just measured by the square footage. Yeah. It's important to note that the Taz is not here. The Taz in Hilchas Sukkah, these Tafresh Lamed Daled, says that both for Hilchas Sukkah and for Hilchas Mezuzah, he says that even the Rambam holds it has to be big enough to encompass 4 amos wide by 4 amos long. And if it's narrower in any one dimension, it's going to be Potter. He says that even the Rambam understands that. It's simply the Shulchan Aruch's lashon kedei l'rabeya dalet amos al dalet amos b'shaveh is a little strange. What do you mean b'shaveh? Equally, evenly. So the Taz understands, but it doesn't have to be 4x4 according to the way all the Rishonim learn. The Taz learns it means you have to be able to inscribe a 4 amma by 4 amma square into my house without bumping into any walls. He points out one interesting kasha, which I don't know what the other paiskim say. He says, if it was true that it just needed 49 square amos, right? So, okay, so then, let's say it was feet, right? So what if it was 20 feet wide? Right, what if it was 49 feet long and 1 foot wide? What if it was 98 feet wide and 6 inches long and 6 inches wide? Why don't the paiskin tell you can't live in that?
It's a base otzar.
A base otzar for what? You need one of those Amazon robots. So he says that if the paiskin don't mention a minimum dimension in some direction, it's a raya that the 4 amos is an absolute minimum. By sukkahs also, he says, a sukkah has to be zayin al zayin, 49 tefachim. If it's one tefach, I think it is. Yeah, obviously if you can't sit in it, it's going to be possible anyway, right? Right, so that's the Taz's point. Anyway, la halacha la maisa, everyone should ask their local Orthodox rabbi. The Chazanish says that's the halacha.
What?
The Chazanish says you do. You have to be able to inscribe a square in it, otherwise you shouldn't put in a mezuzah.